Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
It's the only way I made it through prison. It's the only way I can live life. It's having faith and believing in the higher power, believing in God.
Get a little impatient with those who say if the Lutherans vote to adopt the recommendations before them, they're choosing to suddenly become another declining U.S. mainline denomination. Wake up call from the presiding bishop, we already are.
Congregations who wish to call a minister who is in a committed, lifelong, same-gender relationship to be their pastor, they would be able to do that.
Denominations who go down this path are departing from the Christian faith.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Will they or won't they? That's the real question this week in Orlando for the largest Lutheran church body in the United States. Now, Lutherans are known, I always thought, growing up in a more conservative, not completely conservative, but more conservative Lutheran church body, that Lutherans were known for being these staunch advocates of the Reformation, of Scripture alone, and of everything that Scripture teaches. And then I heard from now a good friend, a guest on the program, that when he was previously an evangelical of some undenominated type, he thought Lutherans were liberals. And there's a good reason, because most of them in the United States are. That's just simply the way it is. And the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, although I don't know if it embraces the label liberal, certainly is moving in the same direction that every mainline liberal denomination has been moving for the last 30 years. The latest evidence is, and although Lutherans usually lag about 20 years behind on most things, not on this one, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America meeting in Orlando is preoccupied with the issue of ordaining gay and lesbian pastors. They've been doing it unofficially for a while, and there's a rather large contingent there, especially in the leadership, that would like to do it officially from now on. Will they or won't they? We don't know for sure. But at least one of the hurdles, we'll talk about it here in a minute, has been taken out of the way that some thought might help slow the progress toward gay and lesbian clergy. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, and thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 18th of August. I want to hear from you about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's consideration of ordaining openly gay clergy. They're doing it right now as we speak in Orlando, Florida, in their churchwide assembly. Our call-in number for the next hour of audio open lines, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll play a little audio from National Public Radio and also some sound bites from the principals, both for and against the move toward gay clergy in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but we especially want to hear from you. Your thoughts, your opinions, your predictions, questions and comments, as always, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Let's begin with the story, a little bit of background from this weekend before the assembly from National Public Radio.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church is holding its annual meeting in Orlando this week. Representatives of the 5-million-member church will debate a proposal that would lift a ban on people in same-sex relationships serving as pastors. They'll also consider whether to officially bless same-sex unions. NPR's Jason DeRose traveled to Minnesota to meet with Lutherans on both sides of the issue.
Salem English Lutheran Church in Minneapolis's uptown neighborhood attracts an assorted lot. In fact, the congregation's motto is Jesus attracted an assorted lot, too.
The river of God, set their feet and dancing. The river of God, fills our hearts with cheer.
this Sunday morning. About 50 people are gathering for the late worship service. It starts around 10:30, but timing is loose. People wear shorts and sandals, dreadlocks. Facial piercings and tattoos are not uncommon.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad in it.
33-year-old Jen Nagel is leading worship today. She's dressed casually, no official-looking robes or pastoral stoles. Though she's welcoming people to worship, seems to know everyone by name, and delivers the sermon, Nagel is not a pastor because of her denomination's ban on clergy in same-sex relationships.
I happen to be a gay person. I happen to be a person who loves another woman and is committed in a lifelong relationship. And I happen to be a baptized person. And I also happen to be somebody who hears a call from God to ordain ministry, to the ministry of word and sacrament.
Nagel says she first experienced that call to ministry way back in the eighth grade. She didn't come out as lesbian until 7 years ago when she met her partner in divinity school. She says the rule banning her from ordination is unjust and based on a number of misconceptions about gays and lesbians.
We do have sexual ethics. We do have a way of understanding what we feel is appropriate and what we feel is not, and what God says is healthy and what is good stewardship of our bodies and of our sexuality. And I would say that this relationship is what's been given to me by a God. And in that relationship, we find grace.
So far, now I said this at the beginning, so far what we know about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's Assembly in Minneapolis is that they are moving toward this, but they haven't made the decision yet. From the Associated Press earlier today, also reported by National Public Radio, what was a procedural move to try and ask that there be a two-thirds majority in order to make this decision was defeated. That means that those who wanted to slow it down, make it a little more difficult to decide this, were defeated already as the largest Lutheran church body in America meets together to decide on this, among other things. But this is the only thing anyone really is paying very much attention to. A little bit later, we're going to be hearing from Bishop Mark Hansen, who's a presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He, in the past, has been very vocal in favor of same-sex clergy, but since he was elected presiding bishop, he has kind of kept his mouth shut. There are people who are for and against as well, and I want to hear from you, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Here's the theme that you will hear again and again by those who advocate for same-sex clergy. It's an issue, as we heard from that female pastor, also a lesbian. It's an issue of justice. It's interesting, an issue of justice, not a question of whether or not Scripture permits this, the church has been authorized to do this, whether or not it is taught or prohibited explicitly in Scripture, but a question simply of human justice. What do you make of that? It's essentially the fairness argument. It is unfair that people in open, they would say committed lifelong, same-sex relationships are banned from serving as clergy in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. How do you respond to the justice argument? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org.
West of Minneapolis, in suburban Plymouth, Minnesota, Sharon and Phil Lindau have just returned home from picking up their sons from Bible camp. 13-year-old Ben is showing off a song he learned there. The Lindaus don't think people in same-sex relationships should be ordained. Sharon Lindau says for her, it comes down to the Bible.
You know, there are a number of places in both the Old and the New Testament where the Bible specifically does say that homosexual behavior is not acceptable.
She's concerned lifting the ban on clergy and same-sex relationships would change the church into something different than the one she's gone to her entire life. She says this isn't about prejudice. In fact, says her husband Phil, they welcome gays and lesbians at their congregation.
God loves those people just as much as he loves me and my wife and my kids. He has a great compassion for them, and he wants to change their life to conform to what he has planned for them.
The whole debate comes down to a theological issue within the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, or ELCA, says Reverend Dr. Roy Harrisville III. He's the executive director of Solid Rock Lutherans, a group organized 2 years ago to oppose changes to the church's current policies.
What is going on, in my opinion, is we have two competing gospels at work in the ELCA.
Harrisville says one gospel, the correct one, is a gospel of transformation, basically what Phil Lindau was talking about when he said God could change people's lives.
Now, this other gospel, however, is being formulated by folks who have the idea of what I call a gospel of affirmation, that instead of changing people, God simply affirms them as he finds them.
Common ground might be found by shifting the discussion away from gay ordination and gay marriage to the issue of marriage itself. David Fredrickson is an ordained pastor who teaches at Luther Seminary in St. Paul.
Because there we would discover that marriage is an institution in which people can build relations of trust and they can count on mutual support. And that is precisely what gay and lesbian people have been asking for.
Fredrickson, who clearly favors changes in church policy, says he hopes today's floor debate in Orlando will include deep discussion of how the church can foster such relationships for all people, gay or straight. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
Do you notice a couple of things here? First of all, there is an implicit, if not an explicit, connection between the arguments in favor of same-sex marriage and the arguments in favor of same-sex ordination, that is, the ordination and the recognition of clergy who are practicing homosexuals, lesbian, or gay. There's an implicit, if not explicit, connection between those arguments and a connection between the two issues. You see, if you listen carefully, you will hear that what is part of the reason for allowing – and remember, this is all very important how these things are worded – part of the reason for permitting lifting the ban off of pastors who are lesbians or gay men who are in long-term, lifelong committed relationships is to affirm those relationships too. It's not just about who should be pastors. It's about an affirmation of the homosexual relationship. It's Audio Open Lines, 1-877-623-6943. Stay tuned.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the Spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I want to hear from you about the possibility, the real possibility, that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America will decide this week to lift its ban on gay and lesbian clergy. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. Or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 18th. talkbackatissuesetc.org. Steve is waiting in St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Two things. First of all, it was very interesting. You listen to the NPR piece. The professor who was talked about it in theological terms, but the other professor who didn't refuse to. And I always find it interesting that those who are trying to promote homosexual ordination can't use biblical baseline as to go to. My other question is this, and this is more of a big picture question. How far does the ELCA have to go before we start seeing churches leave, like what we see right now taking place within the Episcopal Church?
Well, that's a really good question. First of all, that's a very good question. It's actually one I've been thinking about a lot, Steve. And your comment was very insightful as well. Thank you for listening in St. Louis. As to your question, first of all, we need to proceed with the caveat that these are two different church bodies. While they share an awful lot in common, in fact, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has been in full altar and pulpit fellowship with the Episcopal Church USA for, I want to say the better part of a decade, but it may not have been the better part of a decade, a sizable portion of a decade. These are two different church bodies. They proceed differently. They have a different form of governance. There's all sorts of differences between them, theological and otherwise. And yet they're on precisely the same path because they have adopted precisely the same view of Scripture, as to your comment, precisely the same view toward sound scriptural theology. Again, pointing back to your comment. With that said, the Episcopal Church USA's attrition has happened largely in the context of worldwide Anglicanism. There is a more conservative, nominally more conservative, but decidedly more conservative worldwide Anglican context to the Episcopal Church USA. And so what has happened is faithful bishops from outside the Episcopal Church USA have come to the aid of those still faithful diocese congregations inside the Episcopal Church USA and said, look, we will help you. We're here. If you leave the Episcopal Church USA, we will be here for you. No such context exists for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. There is no corollary to worldwide Anglicanism in the Lutheran context. There have been attempts to do it, but there's no context there. And sad to say, most of worldwide Lutheranism is as, if not more, liberal than even the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. So if you're a congregation, a pastor, an individual member, perhaps even an entire synod, that's what they would call districts or dioceses, what do? You leave, and the big question is, where do you go? Do not discount, Steve, the fact that there's still an awful lot of pride here. This is a very young church body formed entirely by merger of other church bodies. That's why it's as big as it is. And was formed in the context of a rebellion against a more biblical, more conservative form of Lutheranism in America. So there's a lot of pride there. You leave, where do you go? Do you go to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, a lot of them would just say, absolutely not. That's where we left in the first place. Where else do you go? Do you become independent? Some will. Some already are. But it's a different context. How far do they have to go? I don't think much farther. But it's amazing, isn't it? The old frog in the kettle scenario. How much individual Christians, pastors, congregations, church leaders who should know better will put up with by way of a slide down the slippery slope before they finally say, this far is too far. And sad to say, at least if history is any teacher of lessons here, the majority in these church bodies watch the point of no return pass them by. And by the time they've gone that far, they've lost the ability, the biblical ability to discern what they're doing and say, this far is too far. I want to hear from you, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'd really like to hear from some members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Is this a deal breaker for you? I mean, I can opine about how far is too far, but I do want to hear from you as well. Talk back at issuesetc.org or 1-877-623-6943. My IE. Bob in Parker, Colorado, listening there, says, I was part of an ELCA congregation about 10 years ago for some years. it was conservative by their standards. And I always felt like we were there to provide a strong biblical influence in Sunday school, small groups, etc. I was raised in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church and school, and this alone makes me feel kind of an expert on the Bible compared to most anyone there except the pastor. I think there was a deep lack of scriptural knowledge among the laity in the ELCA and a very liberal interpretation of scripture based on a historical criticism among the clergy. That's a classical term for a low view of scripture wherein history trumps what the Bible has to say. He goes on to say, so there's no resistance to making this change from either party except for personal opinion. I wouldn't be able to go there anymore. I was very happy to go back to the LCMS with its higher view of scripture. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Probably a very typical story of individuals who say, all right, this is getting out of hand. Where do I go? I'll go back to whence I came, to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But I feel compelled to point out that while the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod doesn't ordain women, doesn't ordain, which is an intimately connected issue, by the way, doesn't approve of homosexual behavior in any form whatsoever, or countenance the idea of same-sex oriented clergy, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is by no means immune to a similar kind of tinkering around with God's word. By no means immune. Chris in Fort Wayne, Indiana, welcome.
Hi, first-time caller. Thanks for having me on.
Happy to do it.
My question is, coming from listening to their internet broadcast, because the sessions are being broadcast, two people came and used the example of Philip and the eunuch as an example of the church embracing homosexuality. And I wondered if you could comment on the hermeneutic principle or the biblical interpretative principle that's at work there.
It's an interesting argument. It's interesting in that it's being brought up in the National Assembly when it isn't one of their biggest guns. I mean, the big gun arguments are Paul was a homophobe. Scripture is outdated. The culture has changed. God is trying to do a new thing. The Spirit is moving the church in another direction. Those are their big gun arguments, none of which hold any water, but the big guns. Some of the small gun arguments are things like, well, there's Philip with a eunuch, read homosexual. And he's baptizing him, and he's giving him all the affirmations that you would give to any other believer and never admonishing him for being a eunuch, read homosexual. There's no evidence, either historically or in that biblical text, that Philip is dealing with a homosexual man. He is a eunuch in the court of Candace. A eunuch in that context simply means probably a castrated male, castrated from very young age, in order to serve as a bodyguard in a royal court. Their sexual orientation was not essential to their carrying out those duties, and largely they were required by their office to remain celibate, ergo the castration. So there's no connection there. Would some have been homosexual or engaged in homosexual activities? Of course, but no more than, say, their superiors in the court, no more than anyone else. So eunuch does not read homosexual. It's a bogus argument. But it's not one that, I mean, when you're running out of biblical arguments and you grasp at straws, that's what you're looking at there, Chris. Florence is listening in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hi, Florence. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Maybe I'm missing something, but there seems to be a part of this argument that I never hear addressed, and I'm trying to understand where they're always drawing the line. They folks often say, I want to be in this same-sex relationship because we are committed to one another. And I would like to understand why they're drawing the line in that area. In other words, okay, I'm using myself as an example. I'll say, suppose I am a heterosexual woman, which I am, and I want to have multiple sexual partners because I believe that's the way God made me. And after all, we are involved in church, and the biblical injunction about some kind of a lifelong commitment, I think that is old hat. I think that's out of date. I think that was paternalistic. I think the way should be, that I can have as many partners as I want to, because that enhances my life. And after all, doesn't God want me to be as fulfilled as possible? I try to understand why that line is always, they always use the argument, I'm in a committed lifelong relationship, to justify this same-sex relationship, but I don't understand it. It seems like there's a flawed reasoning there.
You have, I was trying to say this earlier, you said it so much better than I could, Florence, and thanks for listening in Arkansas. You have put your finger on something that should be a red flag immediately in all of this. You ask, look, if we're going to erase the biblical line, and it's so clearly drawn in the Bible, if we're going to erase the biblical line between the do and the don't of homosexuality, why do you stop there? Why don't you say, look, the way I'm gay is I have a lot of partners. That's how God made me. Why in the world say, yeah, but you shouldn't worry about me being your pastor because I'm in a lifelong committed relationship? Hey, if you're not going to listen to the Bible in one respect, why listen to it in another? I've got more to say about that after this. Stay tuned.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A Catholic hospital system stands its ground on life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Caritas Christ Healthcare, the Catholic hospital system founded by the Archdiocese of Boston, recently decided to forfeit its joint ownership of a profitable insurance company rather than risk even appearing to profit from anti-life healthcare. Cardinal Sean O'Malley said of the decision that surprised many, "Our singular goal has been to provide for the needs of the poor while upholding Catholic moral teaching at all times." The Boston Globe called the move a stark and public reminder that moral concerns will trump monetary issues at Catholic hospitals. Pro-lifers in Massachusetts praise the decision.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, moving closer still with every passing day toward the affirmation, lifting its ban on gay and lesbian clergy. It probably will, but we can't say it definitely will happen by the end of their church-wide assembly this week. Florence called before the break saying, you know, if you're going to erase the biblical line when it comes to homosexuality, why are they all making this assertion that they're in these lifelong committed loving relationships, lesbian or gay? It's a great question, and the answer, I think, is almost self-evident. That is, the purpose in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, of moving toward the ordination of people in these relationships is not only so that they can get past what they believe to be the hurdle of prejudice against homosexuality in general in the clergy, but also to affirm those relationships. You see, after they've made their decision, let's say next week, they will be able to say with a straight face, not only have gay and lesbian people taken their rightful place in the pulpit and at the altars in our churches, but we've also affirmed them in their relationships. I'm not just talking about the sexual act. I'm talking about the relationship that is being proposed as equivalent to heterosexual marriage. We've affirmed them. They didn't explicitly do this. But by saying, hey, if you're in a lifelong committed relationship with your partner and we ordain you, we obviously approve of that relationship as well. So this really has a twofold purpose. One, explicit, that is to simply lift the ban on the ordination of gay and lesbian persons to the pastoral office. But the implicit one is to affirm same-sex relationships of all kinds. Now, we need to press the question one more step, don't we? We need to say, look, if homosexual relationships, and therefore those engaged in them, fit into the pastoral office, then what about these other relationships previously thought deviant, but now in our enlightened state, realized to be alternatives to heterosexuality? What about the other ones? What about male and adult male and young boy, adult male, young woman, polyamory? Why stop there? It's as I've said here for years now on these airways of awesome, as often as it's come up when it comes to same-sex marriage, when you define marriage as something other than one man and one woman, you cannot but define it as anything other than, anything in addition to, one man and one woman. Brady's listening in Wisconsin. Hi, Brady. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, thank you, Todd. I went to ELCA college, and one of the things that was always interesting to me was all the cutting-edge things that they were discussing. Obviously, it was women's ordination. When I was there in the late 90s, they were big on that. And then the big thing was the homosexual debate. And one of the big things they said is, you know, this is just right. You know, God says it's okay. And my always question for that, and I think that's something we all have to ask ourselves, is if it's so right, then why didn't you do it 50 years ago or 100 years ago, or why wasn't it okay then, but now all of a sudden it is?
That's a good question. Did you ever get an answer for it?
No. It kind of went back to our wonderful friend out in New Hampshire, the Gene Robinson, saying, God's just doing a new thing.
It's interesting. It's always kind of an appeal to this mystical, entirely subjective assertion that if it's happening, God must be doing it. Hey, look, there's a move for same-sex marriage. There's a move for same-sex clergy in the church. It must be the Spirit of God. Now, the logic there has holes in it so large you could walk through them. But since when does logic matter when arguing these things? Look, I think it would be much more healthy if those advocating for these things in the church would be honest. Don't try and make your arguments on the basis of Scripture. Don't try and make your arguments on the basis of justice. Don't try and make your arguments on the basis of a new move of God or the Spirit of God. Leave those things behind. Simply argue from your opinion. Just say, I think this is what I think is right. What does God say? It doesn't matter. It's what I think is right. Be honest. That's much easier to deal with than dragging God, the Bible, justice, all those other things into this, and doing violence to them in the process. Elaine in Canada writes this: this is so very sad. The church is to reprove and correct us according to God's word. These people need to repent and receive forgiveness. And the church will not be helping to save them by accepting them and encouraging them to actually continue with the lifestyle. They are not the only ones that need reproof and correction. We all do whenever we stray and go our own way. We are like sheep and have gone astray. She quotes, so the church should remain true to God's word in order to save us all. To follow the secular world and to try and fit in is just plain dangerous. The Bible is quite clear that homosexual behavior, it is wrong and an abomination. So I can't understand why the church is even having this discussion in the first place. Well, you know, Elaine, I can understand why they're having the discussion, because the church never exists outside the context of the world, and the church will always be tempted to follow the siren song of the world. The world will say, look, you will be relevant. We promise you will be relevant. We'll give you a hearing on anything you want to say as long as you do what we tell you to do. And every time the church has followed that advice, the church has become less relevant. And the church has discovered, sadly, that the world's no more interested in what they have to say than before they compromised. Compromise never suits the church. Sooner or later, you can compromise the entire church away. We're talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America entertaining the possibility of ordaining openly gay and lesbian clergy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon, August the 18th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number during audio open lines, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Well, let's hear from the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Bishop Mark Hansen. He says he believes that the ELCA has bigger problems than its disagreements over homosexuality.
This is about a 30-year trend line of a denomination that has lost almost 500,000 baptized members in my 8 years of being a presiding bishop. So we've got deeper questions to ask about how we are a viable evangelical Lutheran community in the United States.
You may not be able to smell it, but that's a smokescreen. It's an old distraction. Why are we arguing about this? We have bigger things to argue about. And it's usually, we need to start talking about doing missions more. Why are we arguing about this moral issue, this theological issue, this issue of communion, this issue of that or the other thing? And look, Bishop Mark Hansen is a very nice man, but he's not the only one pulling out this old smokescreen. Church leaders learn to do this early on, and they do it quite often, regardless of how long they serve in the church. Why are we arguing about this? I like to use this analogy. If your kids pulled this on you, Dad, why are you making such a big deal about when I come home? Don't you got bigger things to worry about? Don't we have more important things to talk about, Dad, than when I get home on Friday night or what I'm doing with my friends? You know, there may be more important things in the larger context, but right here, right now, that's the issue. And whenever the church decides it's going to deviate from the clear word of God, it simply does not do to throw up a smokescreen or create a distraction so that people don't think about it. And the distraction, yes, usually comes in the form of, look, the more we argue about this, every second we argue about this issue, souls are sliding into the pit of hell. Every second we argue about this issue, people are withdrawing their money from the offering plates. This is going to hurt us financially. This is going to hurt us in our mission. Let's stop arguing about it. That is simply a call for compromise. I don't know of a single second in the church's history, faithful to God's word, where the church hasn't been engaged in some kind of argument over what the Bible teaches. Why? Because it's worth arguing about. There are issues of truth and error always at stake. And when we say, let's not argue about this, let's just go do the mission of the church, error wins every single time. Here's Bishop Mark Hansen again. He says that the ELCA has been losing members for years.
I get a little impatient with those who say, well, if the Lutherans vote to adopt the recommendations before them, they're choosing to suddenly become another declining U.S. mainline denomination. And what I'm going to say tomorrow is, wake up call from the presiding bishop, we already are.
Care to react to the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Mark Hansen? 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Well, I agree with Bishop Hansen wholeheartedly. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has, since its inception, been a mainline liberal Protestant denomination in decline. It started out big, 6 million, by way of merger. But it's been in steady decline ever since. Why? It began with a compromise of God's word. Now, don't get me wrong. Churches that refuse to compromise God's word aren't guaranteed numerical growth or success. But history has taught us that the churches that engage in these kind of compromises, generally speaking, fall into decline. What are the reasons? Well, God certainly does not bless false teaching. Contrary to anything your pastor or anyone else may have told you, God does not bless false teaching. He blesses the truth of his word and that alone. But in a more human sense, why would you want to stick around in a church that sounds just like the world, that sounds just like the Rotary Club? Why would you want to be a member of a church that is steadily fading into the wallpaper of American pop culture? I don't know. When we come back, your email, your phone calls on the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America moving toward gay ordination. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, well, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues Etc.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in audio open lines on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of August, talking about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, taking steps toward the ordination of openly gay and lesbian people, probably will by the end of this week. It's all done, as I said before the break, in the name of missions. Every second we argue about this, we're not carrying out the mission of the church. Well, what is the mission of the church? Did Christ or the apostles ever say, did Paul say to the Galatians, let's not worry about what the gospel is, let's just go out and get it out? No. When doctrinal error arose in the church, he returned the Galatians, erring as they were, back to the cross. Because that's where the mission of the church begins and where the mission of the church ends. The mission of the church is the proclamation in word and sacrament of Christ and Him crucified to Christians and non-Christians alike throughout the world, all the time. That's why our Issues Etc. book of the month for August, Mission from the Cross, has it right. You can order Mission from the Cross from Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find the book, Mission from the Cross, right there at our homepage. Here's Sharon listening in St. Louis. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. I was listening to the last part of the bishop's statement of how the denomination is already in decline, and the implication thereof is that this vote is going to help bring it out of decline. It's a part of that whole smokescreen of saying that, we've got bigger things to deal with.
Sharon, thank you very much. Yeah, he certainly does seem to insinuate that the decline is a result of their inaction on this issue. Or, at the very least, it seems as though Bishop Hansen is saying something like, look, people say that if we do this, we'll fall into decline. We're already in decline, so let's go ahead and do it anyway. That seems a very fatalistic, very a cynical way for a presiding bishop to talk about his church. But I think it's probably more of what you suggested, Sharon, and that is, hey, if we don't do this, then we certainly will not be able to stop our decline. He's just got to look around him and got to read more recent church history, especially of churches here in America. Not a single one that has gone this direction has come back from the precipice of decline. Not a single one. And even if they did, it still wouldn't be the right thing to do. Mike in Rockford, Illinois, emails us. He says, I believe that once a church body loses sight of the real mission of the church, that is, preach Christ, administer the sacraments, and goes toward being an organization that promotes social justice and other things more acceptable to the world, we have to realize that this organization will lean toward being accepted by the world and God's word will be left by the wayside. It's sad, but not surprising. I agree, Mike. And as I said before, the more of God's word that we jettison as we slide down the slippery slope, the less and less able we leave ourselves to eventually turn around and tread back up the slope to the truth. We actually rob ourselves of the means of correcting ourselves the more of God's word that we jettison along the way toward compromise. Josh in St. Louis says, I think I'm 99% certain that I'm wrong to think this, but I kind of hope that the ELCA will go for it and just ordain homosexuals. I don't want them to do this because it's right or biblical. It's neither. The ELCA has had problems from the beginning with biblical inerrancy. This diminishes the gospel, the good news of Christ, and exalts the so-called social gospel. By taking their eyes off of Jesus, the ELCA has been taking steps toward accepting and encouraging actions and lifestyles that have always been biblically understood as sinful. Despite this, many people in the pews in the ELCA think their church body is still faithful or whatever. By approving homosexual clergy, maybe it would finally be a wake-up call for the ELCA and to show that the ELCA is not interested in Christ or Scripture. Maybe this issue would finally force the issue into the hearts and minds of Lutheran congregations and people in the pews. It's similar to excommunication. Don't let the unrepentant sinner languish in the congregation. Push him out so that, hopefully, he can repent and be brought back like the prodigal son. Ultimately, I would like the ELCA to repent and return to Christian orthodoxy, writes Josh. Maybe the problem is that the ELCA is not yet depraved enough. Maybe accepting homosexual clergy will lead their church to hitting rock bottom and come to the point where they can finally see the error of their ways. Lord have mercy, says Josh. I don't think it's a reason to desire that they do this. But not unlike people who are subject to addiction of various kinds, sometimes churches have to hit rock bottom too. Sad, though, the lesson of history, Josh, is that once down the slippery slope and once over that precipice, there's no bottom. Apostasy is apostasy. Look up the word. It means falling. It doesn't mean hitting bottom. It means falling and falling and falling and falling. Apostasy is a bottomless pit. Ken in Orlando, Florida says, the pastor interviewed on National Public Radio said that the issue comes down to a conflict between a gospel of affirmation with one of transformation. Maybe that's part of the problem. They're confused on both sides on what the gospel actually is. Good point, Ken. The presiding bishop does want his church to make this move, all right? And as long as he is telling the people that there's somehow gospel in affirming homosexuality or gospel in transforming people, it's not going to help anybody. The gospel isn't the change that takes place in me, and the gospel isn't people accepting me as I am. The gospel is what Jesus did for us as sinners. The gospel isn't in me, it's outside of me. If the gospel's ever moved inside of me, it becomes an entirely subjective thing. And it cannot save. There's no good news in affirming people, and there's no good news in transforming people. There's only good news in what Jesus did in the perfect life, death, and resurrection. Does that transform hearts? Yes, it does. But that's the result of the gospel, not the gospel itself. Very well put, Ken. Thank you very much. Carrie in Minnesota says, they should get back to the Word of God and eliminate the critical liberal translations of the Scripture. At least then they'd have something to stand on, a firm foundation. Well, would that were true, but it's sad to say that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America began, literally was given birth and conceived on the notion that the Bible only contains the Word of God and isn't the Word of God itself. So thus conceived, it's a wonder it's lasted this long as it has. All right, time for one more cut. The presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America says that many hope this week's ELCA convention will approve installing clergy who are in homosexual relationships.
There are both congregations ready to call gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender persons in. I think I've got to keep using just gay and lesbian because that's what we use in the documents. Thank you. And there are persons in relationships that are ready to serve.
Interesting. Well, he's right, of course. But more interesting is the slip. Gay, lesbian, transgendered, bisexual. The document says nothing about transgendered or bisexual. But the bishop does. The documents that they're referring to, that they're asking for the entire church to approve, only talk about gay and lesbian, the respectable forms of deviant behavior, but not of bisexual and not of transgendered. And of course, those aren't the only categories either. And although the document doesn't mention them, the bishop does. It's a slip. Yes, it's a slip, but it clearly shows where his mind is on this issue. That for him, it all goes together. If we affirm gay and lesbian, the quote-unquote culturally respectable forms of deviant sexual behavior, there is nothing to stop them. And I guarantee you, folks, there will be nothing to stop them from approving of in every possible way they can think of all of the other variations. You can mix and match it any way you want from that point on. You really can. Because once you have cut away the anchor of God's word that keeps you moored in place on the stormy seas of the culture, there's nothing to hold you in place. You are literally, as the apostle said, blown around, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the scheming and cunning words of men. St. Paul kind of knew what he was talking about, didn't he? Tomorrow on Issues Etc., maybe we'll continue talking about the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We'll discuss 11th century hymn writer and theologian Bernard of Clairvaux, with Dr. Matt Phillips. Help us promote Issues Etc. You can do so by going to our website tonight. This is very simple. You email people every night, don't you? We'll pick 10 of your friends, coworkers, fellow parishioners, whoever they may be. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, and you will find a YouTube video of all about Issues Etc. that you can email to 10 of those friends. When you do, email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, and let us know that you did, and we'll enter your name for a drawing that we're going to hold on the 28th of this month, on Friday, live on the air, for a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote, find the video, email it to 10 of your friends. It's only a little bit more than a minute long, and it tells you a lot about what Issues Etc. is and is doing, and you'll become eligible for that drawing on the 28th of August. For the $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Thanks for helping us promote Issues Etc. Well, it remains to be seen. Miracles can't happen. But as long as this church body, the largest Lutheran church body, at least its leadership, continues to adamantly ignore the clear word of God and refuse to listen and make decisions consciously contrary to God's word, when God's word is shut out, I don't think we should expect a miracle. We'll see. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.